Well, good morning. Glad that you guys are here this morning. If you do not have a Bible, raise your hand. One of our student leaders would love to grab you a Bible. So put your hand nice and high. They'd love to get that for you. If you do not have a pen, grab a pen. If you need a highlighter or anything of that sort, make sure that you have that. Well, hey, I'm glad you guys are here this morning. We are in a fun series called Heaven, Discovering the Mysteries of Paradise, talking about one of the coolest, most exciting, most wonderful things a Christian has to look forward to. It's the hope that we have. It's the thing that as we start to learn more about it, we should be talking about the most. And my goal for this series is really simple. I want us to get excited and I want us to wonder about where we get to spend our eternity. I'm basing most all of my information from a book called Heaven by Randy Alcorn. Is a guy, a theologian who has studied these things for over 30 years. And he compiled it into a big book, split into a lot of different categories to help us kind of tear apart scripture and the doctrine of heaven. What does the Bible have to say about heaven? I think oftentimes that we think that heaven is this big mystery. But the reality is, as we discover the mysteries of paradise, they're not that mysterious. The Bible has a lot to say about heaven. And on Sunday mornings, we're a place where we want to pull this apart. And so that's why we have the interactive Bible station in the back with highlighters and pens and all those sorts of things and tabs, not just to be academic, not to study, not because we're taking a test. But as Christians, this is the light to our life. This is what guides us and directs us. This is what gives us hope. And this is a series where we get a ton of hope. We get to talk about heaven, the mysteries that paradise is like. So if you don't have any of these things, please grab them. I've got all these resources in the back. I've got these books in the back. I've got little heaven devotionals in the back if you want that. I've got little pamphlets as well. So make sure to grab those things because I would love for you guys to continue to uncover those mysteries on your own. We're just hitting kind of a very brief kind of 4-week segment on what is a really big topic that you can talk a ton about. Okay, so far in this series, what have we talked about? We're 2 weeks in. What are the things that we've discovered? What mysteries have we uncovered so far? Well, in your bulletin, make sure to grab your outline out this morning. This is where you get to engage and interact as you take notes, as you write, as you think. Again, we don't do this so that you can take a test afterwards. I don't check these, but studies show that as we engage, as we don't sleep, as we make eye contact, as we sit up, as we write, as we take notes, we retain more. And as high school Christians, most of us are still at the beginning of our faith. Even if you accepted Christ at 6-7 years old, I look at my grandpa who's 87 years old. He's been a Christian for over 70 years. We're still kind of in the beginning stages of learning and being sanctified, becoming more and more like Christ. So we follow along, we engage in order to retain information so that we can grow as believers. I don't want you to just hear this morning. I want you to hear, and then I want us to be able to take the things we hear and have our lives go be transformed for Jesus. If all we're doing this morning is hearing, then we could argue that doesn't really change anything. But we want to hear and have Christ's word penetrate our hearts and our lives. So week number one, realizing our destiny. Week one was kind of this week where I reminded us that we all die. All of us die. It's 100% that all of us, unless Jesus comes back soon, will die. And so week one, we talked about heaven's a place we know we'll live forever. Heaven is a place we know we'll live forever. So number one, we all know we're going to die, which means there's going to be something after we die, even if that something is nothing. As Christians, God's word answers that question and says, when we die, we go to the new heavens and the new earth. We end up in heaven forever. Heaven is a place. It is a tangible, touchable, seeable place. And we just briefly tapped on that on week number one, that heaven's a place. Not only is it a place, But it is a place that we can know for certain we will be. You don't have to be in this room guessing if you're going to be in heaven one day. We don't have to sit here and say, man, I'm rolling the dice. Will I be? Won't I be? But we actually can know with certainty if we will spend forever in eternity. This is why most Christians will say they're not afraid of death. This is why Paul said, to die is gain. This is why my grandma on her deathbed said, Chad, I just want to go home to be with God. Because as Christians, we can know for certain that we have a place forever where we get to live. We're promised that. We're promised a place where we know we can go forever. That was week number one. For some of us, this may have been totally new information. Heaven being a tangible, actual place that without a doubt we can know we go. And we know that because we put our faith in Christ. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Then last week we asked this question of, this world is not our home, or is it? This world is not our home, or is this world our home? And this was kind of how we can sum up last week. We can expect heaven to be earthly. We can expect heaven to be earthly. Let me break this apart for us a little bit. God is going to redeem and restore the earth that we currently live on. When he created the heavens and the earth, he created a place called the Garden of Eden. And Eden was considered a paradise. Eden was perfect. But then sin came into Eden and it destroyed not only humanity as it infected us with this disease called sin, but it also destroyed the earth. It started to make the earth crumble and weeds come up and all sorts of things started to change. And so we as Christians, as human beings, are not the only ones that live under the curse, but the earth does as well. In heaven, we can expect there to be earthly things. Revelation chapter 21 through 22, the last two chapters of scripture, tell us about the end days. And what's the terminology that we've started kind of becoming familiar with this series? The new heaven and the new earth. The new earth. Now, does God completely blow this one up and make a complete new one? Or does God take this one and just redeem it? There's both sides of the argument. I seem to think as I study scripture that this will be the earth that we're on, that God continues to redeem and make new, just like he does our resurrected bodies, as we talked about that last week, that we will be on the new earth in resurrected bodies. Bodies that have the five senses where we can see, touch, smell, taste. Bodies that will be able to love and to think and to reason. Bodies where we'll have age and ethnicity. Then the new heavens and the new earth, we can expect there to be earthly things. We can expect there to be cities and streets. We can expect there to be atmosphere. We can expect there to be buildings that when we die and spend eternity in the new heavens and the new earth, we can expect heaven to be earthly. Now, why is this exciting for us? Raise your hand if you live on the earth. Raise your hand. Yeah, we all do, right? And so what's exciting about this is where we get to wonder and get excited, is we actually can imagine little bits of what the new earth will be like. Why? Because we live on the current earth. So we can imagine that sunset. We can imagine that perfect day. We can imagine that awesome piece of mountain or whatever it might be. And we can imagine that the new earth will be far greater than even what we're experiencing here. And we would all agree that there's parts of the earth that we live on that are awesome and beautiful. Relationships that we're in that we love, but also times where those relationships are hard. Hikes that we go on that are gorgeous, but yet we get tired. And I get curious about heaven in the sense of one of the things that makes hikes so great is like kind of that adrenaline or that kind of risk factor, right? You're climbing a mountain or whatever. I wonder what that will be like in heaven. If you know that you could climb like this big mountain and fall and not die or not fall, does it still make climbing that mountain fun? I don't know, but I do know that the new heavens and the new earth will be far greater, and there's earthly things there that we can expect, which is why it's called the new heavens and the new earth. And when we saw last week, Jesus, the terminology that the Bible uses and that Jesus uses is about tangible things. And so I hope you got excited as we started to think about this earth that we will be in forever. I mean, just imagine being on this earth where nobody ever gets sick, nobody ever backstabs you, you never go to bed anxious, you never get worried about a test, you never get worried that somebody's not gonna like you, you never get worried that your grandma's never gonna overcome that illness that is always making her knees hurt. Imagine that. When I imagine that, it gets me really, really excited. Now today, I think is actually even cooler than anything we've talked about. So far, we've kind of set our minds on what Scripture has to say about heaven being a place. We get to go there forever. We can know we'll be there. And that this place called the new heavens and the new earth is going to be awesome. It's going to have some similarities to what we have here, but it's going to be redeemed by God. Because God created it back in the beginning in Genesis 1. And in Revelation at the end of his story, he says that it is going to come back and he is going to redeem what was broken. There will no longer be a curse on the earth. There will no longer be a curse on us. Those things are cool. We don't have to think about heaven as just this mysterious place or being just these spirits floating around on clouds, or we'll know each other. Eli and I will get to hang out and could play basketball possibly in heaven together. I don't just say that to be funny or cute. Like, that's a real thing, that we can sit and be buddies in heaven. That heaven is not a start over. Heaven is a continuation of what's been happening. It's a continuation of the story. And it's when God comes and redeems what was broken through the curse. That's all awesome, right? For any of us who are going through hard times in life, this should give us hope. It's like, man, life's hard right now, but God, there's something that is so awesome that I get to be a part of forever one day. Now, as cool as all that is, none of it is as cool as what we're going to talk about this morning. But I wanted to wait about talking about what we're talking about this morning until now, because I felt like we needed to get a good foundation of what Scripture has to say about the place we're going before we talk about the next thing we're going to talk about this morning. But let's pray together first, and then we're going to dive in to week number 3. Will you guys bow your heads and close your eyes as we pray together this morning? Heavenly Father, God, be with us, Lord. Thank you for what you have been teaching us. Lord, thank you for just hopefully the wonder and excitement that we're starting to have of being able to go to this place, God, that has similarities to how you built us here on earth. God, I'm excited to see either the new mountains or the restored mountains. God, I'm excited to sit and have conversations. I'm excited to wrap my physical arms around my physical grandma, to look her in the eyes and to cry tears of joy together as we get reunited. Lord, I'm excited for that. Be with us this morning in your name. Amen. My wife got really fat when she was pregnant with my daughter. And her stomach started getting really big. You guys got really nervous. All you girls were like, what is he doing? And no, I would have never told her that. She just got this beautiful little bump belly. And I remember as her belly kind of started getting bigger and you could like start like seeing like the baby kicking inside of her and stuff, like we would sit and my wife would put my hand on her stomach and be like, feel the baby. And then I remember when we found out that the baby was going to be a girl. And my wife and I, when we were engaged, I told my wife, I said, I just want to let you know that when we have a son, I get to name him. You get no say in it. I'm naming him Bevan Mary Hughes after my brother. This is what we're naming him. But all the other kids, girls or second, third sons, you get to name them whatever you want. I'll have no say in it. She said, great. So we find out it's a girl, and my wife was like, I want to name her Lucy May. Two reasons. One, there's a Lucy May Bowers in our youth ministry that graduated a couple years ago that we love and is super dear to us. Number two, my wife really loves the show I Love Lucy. Okay, that black and white, like old school show. And so she's like, I want to name her Lucy May Mary. That's just so sweet. I said, awesome. So at night, I would like put my hand and I would feel Lucy like kicking inside of her stomach. And I would like sometimes tell her jokes that were not funny and whatever. And so it got to be a point though, as we got closer and closer to the due date, where often I would look at my wife's belly and I would like whisper or shout in it, which is really weird to do. And I would say, I just want to meet you. I just want to meet you. And I remember that we would go into the hospital appointments and we'd see the ultrasound and I'd see like this little gummy bear in there. And I would say, I want to meet you. What are you going to be like? What are you going to look like? What are you going to sound like? And I was like so anxious and excited. And I wondered if she would be quiet. I wondered if she would be funny. I wondered if she would fart a lot. I wonder if she'd be constipated as a baby. I wonder if she'll do cheerleading or she'll do soccer. I wondered all these different things. But I remember my wife and I saying often towards the end of her pregnancy, I just want to meet you. I want to know who you are. I want to touch you. I want to look at you. I want to cry with you. I want to laugh with you. And when my wife got into the hospital, we had Lucy 3 weeks early. And I remember as we were rolling my wife into the hospital, I remember just thinking, I get to meet you. I thought I was going to meet her that day, but she ended up taking 3 days in the hospital before Lucy. She did not want to meet us. She wasn't ready yet, but we were ready to meet her. And I couldn't wait, and I'll never forget getting to grab her from my wife, putting her on my wife's chest at the hospital, and oh my gosh, just these tears and sobbing of like, oh, here you are, and getting to look at her, and getting to cut her umbilical cord, and getting to like hug her. She was all bloody and slimy, and I'm like, I hope I don't drop her. But I was so excited. That's a real thing. I didn't want to drop her. I know. The doctor had like a little like net underneath me in case I did. I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. And I was so excited. So this week, we get to talk about something that's even more exciting that it's what will it mean to see God? What will it be like to see God? Now, in so many ways, we've seen him and we've met him. And we'll talk a little bit about that this morning. We see his qualities. We know parts about him. So it isn't that we don't know God at all. Of course we do. That's why we're all here this morning. But I want us to think about this tangibly for a second. What is it going to mean to see God? As I grabbed Lucy from my wife, and as I looked at her and was just bawling, and she was 4 pounds, like 12 ounces. She literally like could fit in my hand. She's so little. She's still little. What will it be to sit with Jesus? What will it be to sit with God? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And so there's 6 points I want to go through real quick this morning. And we're going to go through a ton of different places of scripture. Because again, whenever I say stuff up here, I want us to be able to go back and see where do we grab that from here. So again, if you've been following along, make sure to follow along with us in your bulletin this morning. Because there's 6 things that I want to talk about that scripture gives us that's going to help us answer this question today. What will it mean to see God? Number one, it'll mean that we get to satisfy our ultimate longing. That to see God as Christians, we'll get to satisfy the ultimate longing that we all have. Turn to Psalms. We're going to be in Psalms quite a bit this morning as well. Turn to Psalm chapter 63. It's kind of in the middle of your Bible. I want you guys to continue to get comfortable with your Bibles and finding passages in them and highlighting them. And if you don't bring your own Bible, I'd encourage you to get in the habit of doing that. David in Psalm 63 says this, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you." King David is saying, I long for you. And as Christians, one of the things it means to see God is that this ultimately satisfies one of our greatest longings. As Christians, we just want to see God. Psalm 27:4 puts it another way. So just turn to the left a little bit. Psalm 27:4 says this. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. To satisfy our ultimate longing is one of the things it will mean to one day see God on the new heavens and the new earth. Number two, what will it mean to see God? Well, it will mean that we get to see his face. I want you to turn with me to the back of your Bible. We were here last week to Revelation chapter 22, verse 4. Revelation chapter 22, verse 4 says this. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Have you ever thought about this before? Have you ever thought about actually getting to see God face to face? Turn to your neighbor. Turn to one of your neighbors right now and look at them. Look at them in the eyes or just look at the back of their head. Now look back at me. We get to see God face to face. We see God in lots of different ways as Christians right now. We're seeing him this morning in ways of just getting to go through his word. But imagine what it would be like, what it will be like to sit down with him and to have a conversation with him. To sit down with him on a bench, on the beach, to talk with him. I can't wait to hug my grandma. I remember the warmth of that hug. Holy crap, I can't wait to hug God. Now, we need to talk about something first if we're going to talk about seeing him face to face. Because to see Jesus's face, to see God, was absolutely unthinkable in Scripture. That when we look at some places specifically in the Old Testament, this idea to see God was absolutely unthinkable. I want you to turn with me to Exodus 33:20. Genesis, Exodus, it's the second book of the Bible. Exodus 33, second book of the Bible, verse 20. Turn there in your Bibles. I know we're going a lot of places this morning. This is good for us. Feel free to underline, highlight, tab these places in your scriptures so you can go back, especially during small groups in 2 weeks. Exodus 33:20 says this. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Now, this is this encounter that maybe you've kind of read about before between Moses and God, where Moses is up on this mountain. He wants to see God, and God says this to him. He says, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. But he goes on and says, then the Lord said, there's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Turn to Hebrews. We're back in the New Testament now, towards the end of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. I told you we're going all over the place this morning. Feel free to use your table of contents. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Part of the curse from the Garden of Eden is that we are not holy. We have sin. We have destruction. We have brokenness in us. But when we put our faith in Christ, we are made holy. God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. He redeems us. He redeems this earth. That is what it will be like in the new heavens and the new earth. But for us right now, this idea of seeing God face to face is unthinkable. It's hard to imagine because we look at places in Scripture where it says, if you see God's face, you'll die. In the Old Testament, there was the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, there is a place called the Holy of Holies. Now, the Holy of Holies was where they had the Ark of the Covenant, okay? In there, only the chief priests could enter into the Holy of Holies. Now, do you know what they used to do before a chief priest would enter in to the Holy of Holies? Anyone? Yes, they would tie a rope around their ankle. Do you know why they would tie a rope around their ankle? Yes.
If they dive in there, they need to pull them out.
Yes, because if they died inside the Holy of Holies, nobody would want to go in and get them. So they had to take a rope to pull them out. They did that because of a guy named Uzzah, or however he pronounces his name. He went into the Holy of Holies. He touched the Ark of the Covenant, and he was struck down. And so this idea of seeing God, being in his presence, is a really big deal. And it's only one that can happen when we are perfect and holy, which here on earth we aren't. But as we put our faith in Christ, when we die on the new heavens and the new earth, we will be made perfect, which means one of the great things that seeing God will allow us, or one of the great things that it means to see God, is to see his face. We've got to imagine and wonder about a lot of things, but I don't know about you. It literally gives me goosebumps when I think about that. Number three, to see Jesus will be to see God. So how does this play out? This is what a couple of the next points are going to talk about. So how does this play out to see God? Well, one of the ways that it will play out, one of the things that it's going to mean to see God, is to see Jesus will be to see God. Turn to John chapter 14 in the New Testament again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 14, verse 9. But really, this whole context here is really great for you to read. I'm just going to read verse 9 this morning, but this whole kind of from verse 5 really down to verse 14, I'd encourage you to go back because there's a lot of great things here. But here's what it says. Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus says this all throughout Scripture, and there's a lot more here that you can kind of read on. But God sent Jesus down, and Jesus said, I am the Father, and I are one. A guy by the name of John Edwards puts it this way. The scene of God in the glorified body of Christ is the most perfect way of seeing God with the bodily eyes that can be. What John Edwards is saying is what we just read in John, is that one of the ways we'll see God is through Jesus. God sent Jesus down on this earth. Jesus was crucified because he claimed to be God. He came to be one with God. We look at the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so one of the ways that we will see God in heaven is to see Jesus. The fourth point I want us to talk on this morning is, what does it mean to see God? Well, it will mean to see him with our physical eyes. Now, I know this might sound a little redundant this morning, but I wanted to add this point in because I think it's important for us to really focus on. Last week, we talked about resurrected bodies, right? We talked about the idea that we're going to have age, there's going to be gender. We don't know what age that's going to be, right? Lots of different theories we talked on last week. There's going to be ethnicity, that we will have bodies with five senses. We can touch, hear, smell, taste. We can see. And so one of the things that it will mean to see God is that we get to see him with our physical resurrected bodies, which means our physical resurrected eyes. I want to hound on this point this morning because I think it is beautiful for us to recognize and know that as you turn to your neighbor and you saw your neighbor, we'll get to do that with God. And we know one of the ways we'll get to do that is through Jesus. But there's a lot of other ways too that we're going to talk about here in a second. I want you to turn back to the Old Testament, the book of Job. Go to the book of Job. Job chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. Job chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. Job says this: I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. Lots of things there that we've already talked about, this idea of flesh and dying, and is that new flesh now his resurrection body? And he's saying, in my flesh, I will see God. I want you to understand the redundancy this morning because I want these things to soak in. What will it mean to see God? Well, it will mean to see God will be our primary joy. That outside of seeing him with our eyes, outside of it fulfilling our greatest longing, it will mean that to see God will be our primary joy. We'll get to see everything in its original and perfect being. He'll be the lens by which we see all other stuff. Our primary joy in heaven will be to see God. Now, in our sixth point, we're going to talk about what that actually looks like. Does that mean that we just sit and stare at God all day? Does it mean that we go out and do other stuff? And as we do other stuff, how do we then have that still be our primary joy? But before we get there, I want you to go back to the book of Psalms. And I want you to go to Psalm 73. Psalms comes right after the book of Job. Psalm 73, and we're going to just look at the first half of verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? He goes on to say, and earth has nothing I desire besides you. Whom have I in heaven but you? Whom have I in heaven but you? That our ultimate joy in heaven will be to see God. An old Christian theologian by the name of Augustine says it this way: you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. This is what I was referring to earlier of Christians that you will talk to are excited about heaven. They yearn for it. They long for it. They know that their primary joy will be to be there with God, to see God. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. The last thing I want to talk about this morning is, what does it mean to see God? Well, it means seeing God in everything good. Turn to 1 Timothy. This will be the last place we go in Scripture this morning. Good job hanging in there. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. It's towards the back of your Bible. It's a small book, so sometimes it's easy to miss. 1 Timothy 4, 4. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For everything God created is good. Now, where else have we seen this? We saw this in our creation series, right? In the intelligent design series, that what did God say like 6 or 7 times during creation? It is good. And so one of the things that it means is to see God in everything good. Randy Alcorn puts it this way: we can enjoy the people and the things God has made. So here's where I want us to step back for a second. That our primary joy is going to be to see God. That is our primary joy in heaven, is to see God. It's our longing. It's our ultimate longing. But when we get to heaven, we've talked about all these great things of like going on hikes, surfing, sitting down with friends. And what we realize is that in all of that, it is enjoying God. Well, how so? Because if I sit down and have a conversation with my grandma, God created my grandma. He created me. He created relationship. He created connection. He created love. Do you think God enjoys seeing us sit down on the weekends having good conversation with another believer? Yeah. Do you think God finds joy when someone is sick at the hospital and another person goes and brings them a meal or a prayer? Yes. Do you think God is excited after we just got back from a good workout and our body feels good and we feel energized? Yes. These are things that God created. He created us to be with others. He created us to enjoy his creation. And so to see God in everything good is one of the ways that we'll get to enjoy heaven. Is that as we're with friends, as we're with family, as we're going on that long walk, as we're whatever you name it, that to see God will be enjoying everything that is good. We can enjoy the people and things God has made. So we're now 3 weeks in, and hopefully we're starting to get a kind of better view of things to get excited and to wonder about. And my goal of this series has been really simple. This is not a hard series like our drinking series or our sex series or our health series or our parenting series, right? That this series is different because this is a series where we can sit with excitement and with wonder. I want to encourage you to use your imaginations a little bit. I think there's some things that we can expect. Now, do we know exactly how all this plays out? No. But the Bible does give us a lot of ways that we can expect it may look like. And that we can imagine that. We can get excited about that. We can be grateful for that. Again, that's why all those resources are there in the back. One of the resources I'm encouraging the most is the 50-day heaven devotional. That for 50 days, I think it's 2 pages a day, will just give you verses and scripture on kind of preparing your heart and getting you excited for heaven. I'm going to call the worship team up this morning as we close. And as we do that this morning, I want to leave you with this thought of the week. And I want you to consider this as we get the lights dimmed, as music will start to play. I want you to consider this morning. This is another thing that Randy Alcorn says in the book that we're teaching from that, again, is in the back. He says this, and this is what I want you to think about this week. Being with him, gazing at him, talking with him, worshiping him, embracing him, eating with him, walking with him, laughing with him. Imagine it. Imagine it. I'm asking you to close your eyes this morning. I want you to just imagine one of those things for a second. Imagine embracing him. Physically putting your arms around him, giving him a bear hug where you're bawling in his chest. Imagine that. Imagine after you embrace him, gently pushing him away from you, looking him in his eyes and talking with him. Not a conversation like the prayers you've had here on earth, but a talk with another physical being who you can touch and look at as you're still holding his shoulders. Maybe your hands now have moved to his face. And as you look in his eyes, talking with him, you then go to a table and you sit down and you eat with him. After you're done with dinner together, you get up and you go for a walk around the block. You go for a walk through the New Jerusalem, which is the capital city in the new heavens and the new earth. And as you're walking around the New Jerusalem with him, imagine laughing. Maybe he says a funny joke. Maybe you say a funny joke. Maybe there's an epiphany that just hit you. Imagine it. God, thank you for the hope that you give us in heaven. God, be with us as we worship you this morning. When these things penetrate our hearts and our souls. In your name, amen.